And so we hear, on hearing that Jesus was passing by, Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. I want to see." And in that brief exchange, Bartimaeus offers up the cry for God that wells up in every human heart. "I want to see." Why did this story make it into the Gospels and others didn't? Jesus passed by other people 10 minutes earlier that day, 60 minutes earlier that day, 2 days earlier. And yet we have no evidence of some special response in those circumstances. How many thousands of people did Jesus pass by in his 3 years of public ministry without a response? Of course, that is true not only 2,000 years ago, it's true today. At every event of our lives, Jesus is passing by. Is our eyesight healthy enough to see him? Or have we grown cataracts? Maybe we're blind or just asleep. Rather than this image of sitting by the roadside waiting for Jesus to pass by, often the Christian life is portrayed as a pilgrimage. And although they sound very different, the two images are actually quite similar. And after having been on pilgrimage for 15 days in Spain, I have a better understanding of those similarities. Because in every aspect of a pilgrimage, almost all of them quite ordinary, Christ is passing by. When my wife and I were in Spain, Jesus didn't pass us by only when we were visiting magnificent churches or walking through incredible beauty or praying in peace and quiet. He was also there when we washed our clothes, prepared dinner, showered, packed our backpacks, endured the snorers, went to the store, or dealt with the day's weather. On pilgrimage, when all of those ordinary events are drawn together in an environment where our eyes are more open to Jesus, it creates an atmosphere where something special can happen. But since returning from Spain, I now see that every day is filled with those same kinds of seemingly ordinary events, and that they could be knit together into an atmosphere where Christ is passing by. If I have the eyes to see, if my heart is not blind to it. When we learn to see Jesus passing by in the ordinary events of our days, in the now, life is different because Jesus is passing by. Remember, he is Emmanuel. God is with us. It's a simple and beautiful way to live. And as it begins to take root in our lives, it transforms everything. We begin to let go of the passing things of pleasure, success, notoriety, material things, and we seek those things that endure forever. We see more easily the God who created everything and who guides all things, and we realize in truth how much he loves us. Jesus, have pity on me. I want to see. Cry out to him all you can, and your eyes will be opened. That's what happens in the lives of saints. Saints are those people who become aware of the countless little ways that Christ is passing by, and they cry out, "Son of David, I want to see." Their relationship with Jesus is so close that when they pass you by, you can feel Jesus pass you by. Can the same be said about us? How many times today has Jesus already passed you by unnoticed? In the gift of just waking up in the morning, the companionship of your parents and siblings or your spouse and children, a note or a text from a friend, the smell of coffee, of bacon and eggs, or bacon and anything, a refreshing shower, the magnificence of the trees, the flowers, the sky that you pass to get here, just the beauty of this church. It's one of the reasons why the Mass can be such a powerful force in our lives, because we leave the world outside and we come to a place where we have multiple encounters with Jesus, if our eyes are open. Jesus passes us by in the Mass in so many ways, but we're reminded in a particular way of the four ways that Jesus always passes by. He's always present in the Mass, in the priest, in the scriptures, in the Eucharist, and in the people. Our God is a God who is near. Our God is the God of the prophets and the saints. Our God is the one who is passing by. However, notice something beautiful in that gospel. When Bartimaeus encounters Jesus, he expects something to happen. Jesus says to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" And to us, that seems kind of like a silly question. He's blind. What do you want me to do? But it's a very important question. How many other beggars in Jesus' day, in his 3 years of ministering, answered that question differently? Bartimaeus was a poor beggar. He could have requested money or food, but he perceives that Jesus is more than just another passerby. The title that Bartimaeus gives to Jesus is significant. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Son of David is the title of the Messiah. This is the first public recognition that Jesus is the Messiah, other than when Peter proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah. A little later, Bartimaeus will say, "Master, I want to see." And in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's the only person who calls Jesus Master. Even though he's blind, Bartimaeus sees that Jesus is Messiah and Master. One can almost picture Jesus saying to Bartimaeus what he said to Peter when Peter acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah. "Bartimaeus, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." He sees that Jesus is the Messiah, and so he asks for a miracle. Jesus is the transcendent God. Jesus is the great I am that Moses met on Mount Sinai. But do we know what we want from Jesus? Do we believe that he will grant it to us? Notice that Jesus stopped him and said, "Call him." It seems strange to me that Jesus doesn't go to the blind man, but rather calls and expects Bartimaeus to come to him. Because Jesus has come this far. He's come from Galilee to hear, but he's not going to do it all. Bartimaeus has to do his part too. And how is that like us? Jesus calls us, and we hear his call in our hearts, but he's not going to do everything for us. He's waiting to see if with our free will and with courage, we will respond. "Jesus, have pity on me. I want to see." Because we need to make a conscious decision to see or to hear Jesus when he passes by, recognize that he will most likely go unnoticed if significant parts of our days are spent on our phones, watching television, playing video games, browsing social media sites, or just caught up in being busy. While those things of themselves are not evil, they represent a serious threat to us because they train us to not look for God. We settle for the natural goods of this world instead of using them to seek the eternal good. How can we see God if we're no longer looking? We make ourselves blind by closing our eyes. Losing a sense of the presence of God is a serious danger. When we lose the sense of God's presence, we undermine what is at the heart of what it means to be a human. Because at the heart of our human identity, we're made in the image and likeness of God. As it says in the book of Genesis, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. When we become blind to that basic identity, things stop making sense. Life loses its sense of purpose, and the entire social order begins to unravel. Open your eyes. Look around. The evidence is everywhere. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. I want to see. Jesus wants to take away your blindness, and he has the power to do it. But once he does, how will your life be different? After Bartimaeus received his sight, Jesus says, "Go your way." And the gospel tells us, and he followed him on the way. Once he's able to see, Jesus' way became Bartimaeus' way. If we become more alert to the many ways that Jesus passes us by every day, every hour, we will naturally follow Jesus on the way. Our souls want to be wherever he is, even if it means service to the poor, the needy, the outcast, and the abandoned, even if it means trials and sufferings and sacrifices. Whose way are we following? Whose way are we going to follow? The question is not whether Jesus is near. I promise you, I assure you, he is near. The question is whether we're going to let him pass by or choose to be with him. Whether we're going to let him pass by or to follow him on the way.